fun.
I'm here with visiting artist Michelle Grabner, who is just arrived from Chicago, where she is a professor at the Art Institute, co-director of the Suburban Gallery. She's an artist, she's a writer, she does many, many things. But today I'd like to talk about your art, your practice.
Great.
So I just have a couple of questions. I'm an abstract painter, and I'm always curious about how abstract painters or abstract artists keep their practice alive. I'm curious about the motives that influence the impulse to make a particular kind of mark, and then that also motivate the repetition of your marks. How do you keep that from being kind of a formal exercise?
Sure. Well, and you know, truth be told, some of it is a formal problem that I set out for myself. But there's also a pragmatic element to the work. In addition to some other activities within the art apparatus, whether it's critical writing, teaching, certainly, running the Suburban and so forth. When I go into the studio, and what the language of abstraction affords me is something very unique. It's not social, it's anti-narrative, it's process-based. So it's important for the studio practice to be to present something, not only problems, but to present something that's different, an alternative to some of the other activities, and that allows that practice to be actually, in my case, very reductive. Whether it is about the repetition of mark making, whether it's wrought in paint and or silver point or graphite, you know, on various surfaces. So I think there's the pragmatical element, what it can afford me, what it does to the mind, the body, the process of making them. I can imagine, and I think about this often, that if those other things weren't orbiting in my life, that my relationship to the language would be different. So I hope that gets at your question a bit.
It does. And this is kind of a loaded word, but do you think that there's a kind of a purity to your practice, or how do you feel about, you know, couching a reductive, abstract, visual art in that way?
I think the purity. Another word would be kind of the ideal, but it's also I often understand that it's a fool's game that I'm reaching for in terms of a kind of establishing a relationship to perfection or counting or you know, the idea of Platonic abstraction when you know the body or the materials of the work are continuously pushing at that. So you know, but then to keep keep the chin up and to keep going at it again and again and again, you know, often I leave the studio thinking how foolish, how ridiculous, how absurd, and then at times it does, you know, you hit this chord, you get into the space of production and process that transcends even the thing itself, the object in the end. Yeah.
Is there something about math and this sort of act of counting and these simple systems that you set up for yourself that relate to this kind of ideal that is kind of outside of yourself and kind of in this parallel?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I wish I was I could give you a sophisticated answer for that. You know, it's counting, but it's also ticking. It has the same kind of stuttering effect. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. It carries a rhythm to it. So it's and it's additive. It's simple counting. So it's you know, the compositions of the works here are an Archimedes spiral, but again, almost by default, by some of the problems I set up with using a round support and trying to think through figure ground. So, and that was the result. That was kind of the resulting form. You know, it's almost the most kind of foundational kind of ticking movement. I mean, it's a funny, I don't even know it's counting. It's and I don't. Sometimes I think that, you know, counting is rudimentary, or on the other side of it doesn't become mathematics yet.
Right,
it's
right,
it's
right.
Almost performative. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. And how did you come to the circular?
Yeah.
Format.
Thank you for asking, because it's a. It took some time, believe it or not, and again, it was this problem where I came to, you know, the simple counting starting in the center, but it was on a square format. So I was dealing with these two geometries, you know, the circle and the square, and I was having this kind of figure ground issue, and I was just the process of making them when I'm rotating, and these are. They're painted through rotation, moving around and around the support. And when I was rotating my body around the square support, the corners would, needless to say, really askew the spiral that I was working at. And you know, and then I did have to deal with figure ground situations. And for years, I was when I say years, I was looking at 3 or 4 years trying to solve that problem. And you know, how ridiculous. But of course, there was the eureka moment where it's like, well, the tando, the circular support, of course. And that doesn't mean I don't have that figure ground issue, but it's a subtext now, in terms of you still have these maybe slight little crests in which the accumulating spiral doesn't perfectly set center in the tando, but that's an interesting moment as opposed to the event, and it was the event when we were looking at a circular form and a square a format prior to that. So yes, that's the resulting that's how I resulted or how I came to the tando.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Everything makes sense.
Thank you.
The dots kind of evolving and the encircling, and it feels like there's a real integrity between the making and what then the object and then the vision. And it's sort of, there isn't anything that I really, you know, question. It's like, that all works together.
Well, thank you. And as you know, as an abstract painter, that you know, these scenarios are, and particularly for me, in a you know, trying to look for a reductive vocabulary, a limited frame, whether it's, again, you know, a black and white scenario, a point that echoes the round support, starting in the center, simple geometries, counting, and so forth, and really limiting the vocabulary that's being played out. And, you know, often in limitations, it keeps swinging open, and you're dealing with, you know, more and more issues. And so when everything can kind of hit this kind of harmonious rightness, it's quite a wonderful thing. You know, and then the next question that we all have when we deal with particularly this kind of process-oriented work is, and I think about this often, it's like, okay, so this is part of, this has become a motif, a method within my working process. When do I set myself up with another kind of problem to be solved with that? Or can I just continue to do this, you know, onward into my, you know, old age? So that's an interesting question, and these tandas do feel right, and you know, often I'm compelled to, you know, foil it when you hit that point of you know, you're nodding in approval. How can you problematize it, or do you just set up a new problem? So that's kind of always exciting, and that's what we deal with when we're in the studio.
So in this moment, what is keeping you engaged and curious? What are you wondering about as you have a kind of a process,
mm-hmm. Yep.
That unfolds
right
somewhat
mm-hmm.
consistently,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So then where are the variants that keep you?
Yeah, no, that's right. Outside of labor and work, which are interesting to me, repetition is interesting, again, as you know, other elements of you know, my life, you know, are unpredictable and so forth. So the process is interesting, but yeah, when you're asking about where the poetics are still, I think that's you know, needs to be that's an excellent question. Right, so I solved it. Do I stay there? Do I move? But the poetic still, in continuing these works for me anyways, actually lie in the abstract notion of time, and how I think time is played out in who we are, particularly in kind of our contemporary culture where we're, so tied up in constantly having to articulate our identities, and we do that through social media and so forth regularly. It's almost obligatory to participate in culture that we do that, and how the time that gets the time that's illustrated, the making of these things actually illustrate a kind of time, but it's not Michelle Grabner's time. It's an abstract kind of version of time, and I think about it in terms of Ankawara, who also deals with a time fundamentally as a concept in his work, and the kind of 8 hour a day, the placement of time, and so I think about that, and I think that that clearly is still an important issue that compels me in these works. So I think it's that these kind of records of a kind of activity that is it's abstract and hard to kind of gather in at a time in culture in our lives that is really quite articulated. Our time is always accounted for. So to kind of skew that a little bit, I think that's what these works do.
I love that because when looking at your work, I feel like every moment is accounted for, but there isn't a kind of utility.
You can't translate it, right? There's not a measure for it, right? So, it is a kind of the orbiting, the throwing off, the rotation. Those are kind of ways that we mark cosmic time and so forth. But and counting is also a way. But what is being counted and how those little marks equate to a kind of time we don't know. And I think that's that's important. Again, going back to what I was saying earlier, that in terms of the pragmatic, that I need that time. I need that time away from either my own children, out of the classroom, out of the office, out of looking at other work. That there is, that kind of again, it's a pretty classical individualized studio practice, and that kind of monitoring, counting within the studio is really important, just thinking about the fullness of everything else that happens in my day.
Well, thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. This was fun.
That's great.